Chris would recommend that those discussions would be continued. I must indicate here that because these are recommendations of the committee to the minister, the committee as well in its own program would decide on matters of priority as prescribed in the strategic plan on its annual plans and its term plans to decide which are stakeholders that are important to assist the department in its engagement with the different stakeholders. So this point in itself is what the minister in his capacity would do. The committee's action plans are outlined in our own program and in our own smart plan. Just wanted to just give that point of clarity. But
on front of you, number four in the recommendation, Honorable Musi.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just thinking that I'll be advised in the case I'm elected GAP. The urban settlement development grant and the municipality infrastructure grant do the same thing, the other one in the metro and the other one in smaller municipalities. I just want us to talk about it. Thank you.
I think I'll just add it to this point that either 15% MIG funds and the USDG. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Strike, Honorable Sultan. No, I just wanted the urban one. Is it also specifically for facilities? Okay, so we should treat it the same.
Thanks, Chair. And I think the main reason why we would stand strongly behind this is because municipalities tend not to prioritize sports generally. And as such, you are not going to find much enthusiasm on the part of municipalities when it comes to allocating their funds, for providing sports facilities. Indeed, I think the department would be in a better position because it's a matter of getting a contractor to build. You don't have to localize the process. You can localize it in the context of procurement to say, let me factor in the concept of local economic development. Otherwise, the department that is primarily concerned with facilitating the development of sport, shouldn't abdicate its responsibility. So indeed, as I was saying, that should be the strongest reason, that municipalities do not tend. I know that that might sound like it's one minister fighting another one, but in the context of saying it is our primary job as sport to do everything that's needed to advance the cause of sport. Thanks, Chair.
I'm suspecting that we are right. The question of the municipality is your SALCA and maybe your provincial departments. And this question of sport, school sport, we need it bilaterals. Fortunately, with the education on this curriculum, we are going to meet them on the 28th. So we need to follow suit with, I don't see where SALCA is in our program, but we're still going to come to our program. We'll re-prioritize. There's no other way. I know that some municipalities and some leaders of municipalities, they will tell us once they don't have water, and then we're thinking that they can take this 15% of infrastructure, building schools or whatever, and others arguing that maybe a good argument, but if you really can be ring-fenced, it is this department that can handle that. Maybe your bigger municipalities, they are not supposed really to do that. I don't have given that feeling that with the your smaller municipality, we need to understand. I'm not understanding it. I'm just sharing the discussion all over that people are, they are thinking that the e-sport is the thing, and when somebody is going to that, you understand with the smallest municipalities that they don't have much resources and so what to take the infrastructure money to do. We are all concerned about the problem of water. Sometimes the problem of water is an old infrastructure that 15%, they can't even do anything of an old infrastructure in KSG, for instance. It needs billions. So we need to be very strict. Okay, put it.
Thank you, Chair. I think members do agree with the lobbying part here. No question. Point number five, ensuring that the facility audit be completed as a matter of agency in order to develop a proper national sports facility. I must hasten to indicate that the DG did indicate that this facility audit, which they were doing through acquiring the services of the GIS, has now been halted. And what they are currently doing is to have a facility count, which is a complete different process, while they are pursuing or trying to find other means of ensuring that this process is complete. The importance of it, that it should be completed either as an audit within the GIS or a facility count, is that it will allow the department to have a proper view of what are the facilities that they have, and therefore develop a facility development plan, which is part of the broader National Sports and Recreation Plan, so that then it allows them to plan properly with, you know, the use of the MIG should also that fall into place. So the department was anticipating that this would be in place, and as a result, the National Facility Plan would also come out of that, and when MIG is therefore fully in the control of the department, it will be done in line with the facility plans. The facility plan gives us an indication of per classification, what are the type of facilities that we have, in what categories are they falling, and what are the various sporting codes or modalities that can be it can be used for. So what we are what the committee would recommend here is this audit be completed, whether be it a count or an audit be completed, so that then there can be we can be given an opportunity would arise for a national sports facility plan to be developed.
I just need clarity, more than intake, as to whether the department had its own deadline when it started the project, and if so, has it met that, or can we then, rather than say as urgently as possible, you know, what we view as urgently as possible to them might also be another thing, as to whether do we then set them to a target given that they've previously missed their own deadline in the team.
There was a plan that the department had to complete the facility audit. This started in 2012, and they were supposed to have completed this by December last year. Now, the DG did indicate that that process was halted as a result of the finances, the 20 million that was required to implement the GIS, but also the established platform with the six departments that are implementing this. And he did indicate that it is possible to enter into that arrangement of the six departments, which includes basic education and health, to work and count on facilities. However, the technicality is that the departments want them to pay for whatever that has happened previously so that they can be on par. And so the NCA has said if this doesn't happen, they will declare a dispute, intergovernmental dispute, because it should there should be a close working relationship. It shouldn't be that they pay for what has happened in the past for them to benefit for what will happen in the future. So from where they are, they were supposed to have completed it by last year, but they haven't. And so it's a continuing thing. Thanks.
No, let's put a time frame, because it's also at our interest that we should have a target, because otherwise what will we be monitoring if we don't have a base? So my take is that let's put a reasonable, because agency is weak, so let's put a timeline on the audit, whether it's a count or what, but let's just put a timeline. Maybe we should say 3 months, or if we are going to have an opportunity for them to come, they should indicate how much time they want, so that we judge them on what they said they'll be able to reach. It's 3 months.
Yeah, I think it is captured there in the summary of reports, because if you look at page 37, number 4, we've indicated that the progress report on the facility audit that was initiated in 2012 should be provided. So the deadline there is March 2015. However, perhaps that should reflect also on the recommendation, as you suggest.
Thank you. Number 6.
Number 6, that the minister should ensure that through the ministerial outreach program, sports trusts continue to build more facilities in rural areas. Let me indicate that sports trust is a conduit organization that the minister has found useful in ensuring that since the department cannot build facilities, that through the ministerial outreach program, whose purpose is solely to ensure that the rural areas have proper facilities, and they build multi-purpose courts and multi-purpose centers. So this is where Sports Trust is entrusted with that function of ensuring that the ministerial outreach program of building facilities becomes successful, where the department will transfer certain funds through that. However, Sports Trust does not only receive money from the department. You'll see in one of the reports here that Lotto does also provide funding. There are other bodies that provide sports trust with funding. And this is the way that they do in communities: provision of facilities, provision of sports-related equipment, and assistance of athletes who are performing well in their sporting codes. So, And they are an entity also of interest to the committee. You'd see also when you look at other reports and what work they do playing that role. So because of the absence of provision for the department to build facilities, this conduit organization, Sports Trust, becomes important then to ensure that the mandate of building facilities still carries on. And the committee then would perhaps, if they so wish, recommend that this program also compared to other rural areas that have not benefited or that do not have facilities, whilst the MIGs and the lotteries are, you know, lobbied to build more facilities in those areas? Thanks.
Except that I don't know this animal called Sport Trust. I'm new in the committee, and I'm believing on people to come and present and tell us who are they, what are they doing. I can't say anything except when we are going to our program, Mabel proposed, because if their responsibility is to build more facilities in rural areas, we need the most to come and tell, do they have the money, where, what have been they doing? So I'm suspecting that from that perspective, you will need to, that they must be amongst priorities of people who must come and tell us their program in order that somebody is in a power emakaya.
If my observations are captured correctly, then I won't have to make a change to the recommendation, so it will be alright. So they'll deal through you, sir, Chair, that what I said under observations carries, and therefore I don't have to put it under recommendations.
Mr. Rothman, yes, I've captured that, and I'll just adjust it. If you recall, Mr. Rothman has suggested that we should ensure that there's a form of accountability that is given to sponsors, particularly for the amounts of money that they've been given. Just for your interest, if you look on page 19 of the report, we did highlight there that there's some monies that have been transferred to Sports Trust. Page 9, sorry, the last paragraph. Yeah, the last paragraph, sorry. About 22 million was transferred to the Sports Trust, and an additional 9.7 million over and above that was also given to Sports Trust. So you realize that there's quite a lot of money that the department is allocating to Sports Trust, particularly to pursue this ministerial outreach program of building sports facilities. So that view and observation of Mr. Rahman, committee has agreed, would infuse it in observation and then continue emphasizing on this main recommendation that more oversight be conducted on that. On that. Thank you.
No, I think I'm covered, Chair, because we can remove seats, and then we'll have to just do oversight, because otherwise it will make a mockery, because we can't recommend on something that we don't know. That is what the sentiment that we were making, Chair. So I think let's remove it, and then we'll just cover it. We'll request the department to give us more information, so that we can begin holding them to account, because it's dangerous that the money should just go, and then we can't know what is this animal.
My concern here, especially given the concerns just expressed by the last speaker, is these transfers. Were we aware of the committee, let's say the previous committee, that there was such an institution to which transfers would be made? And because I think that would have been the time that we would have gotten to know more about this sports trust. But my other concern is what would be the difference between the MIG and transfers to trust? Who decides and on what basis that so much should go towards MIG for sports facilities specifically, and so much should go to Sports Trust? I'm aware of the fact that you have already said that you know very little, if anything, about the Sports Trust. And if indeed that is the case, we perhaps we urgently need to get the department to explain to us exactly who the sports trust is, what is it made up of, and so on. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm suspecting that we are supporting what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to be told by people who were here last time. I want to the department to come, and because now we'll be questioning Honorable Musi and the staff. We want from horse's mouth. I've been saying that I don't want people who will be saying, you know, last year, you know, that year, we want that we must have a fresh information in order that we must put our views. The department is still here. Once we are new, they will come and report to us. I'm happy about this number six, that let's do oversight, let's call our department, and then we'll move from there.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving to number seven, this was also discussed earlier, that the minister should ensure that entities implement recommendations of the AG and put the time frames that should happen by 2015. I think we can pass this one. Thanks. Number eight, ensure that governance within public entities is strengthened to achieve good corporate governance in sport. And this has to do with, you know, all the, I think it's related to number seven, where the AG made recommendations about irregularities and non-compliance when it comes to certain provisions of the TFMA. And so, but also it comes to boxing in particular, you'd have issues of governance where the board has not been correcting, has not been meeting, the CFO suspended, and all sorts of accountability. So I'm not sure if one should remove it because it's covered on seven, or should have it separate.
No, I think we should try to bring in emphasis around the two entities becoming sustainable, so that it's different to the findings of the Auditor General, but the whole issue of sustainability. Because at the moment, you know that the department is in fact running PSA, for instance. So I think we need to do emphasis on PSA, in addition to these questions that the chairperson showed, that we need to begin asking them to answer specifically in relation to some of the findings of AG. But we need to ensure that the PSA, including possible amendments of the legislation, but it needs to be sustainable, including this thing of what did you say earlier? The TV broadcasting. Yeah, so I don't know how to capture it, but we need to show that thing, because otherwise we won't be assisting PSA in particular. And then on SAIC, it's more themselves being self-sufficient, but we can't make that recommendation outside to see, because we need to understand in terms of the budget that we give them now, so that we can do that recommendation later, in terms of innovation and all other things that we think they need to look at for them to be sustainable.
With the whip again, I think that it's even important that eight then, based on what the whip is saying, gets split up to speak specifically to SAID and then speak specifically to boxing, almost as two recommendations on their own. The word we're looking for is internal controls when it comes to both SAID and Boxing South Africa. With Boxing South Africa, as the whip has said, the mandate is even broadened, because there's other issues that are at play. When it comes to SAID, So basically, if we can speak, maybe be more specific, but then split it up. So when we speak about SAIDs, we say this is what we need to fix, and from our side, it is internal controls on both sides. Both boxing South Africa and SAIDs have to increase the internal controls in line with what the Auditor General again has stressed, that the internal controls are so weak. Now, when it comes to boxing South Africa, there's other issues when it comes to governance. It's promoters, which we're not in control of the promoters. We're not in control. There's other issues. There's other mafias that come into play within boxing that we've got to be very careful with how we control it. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair. I think we need a separate point for boxing SA with regard to a point that adds on to what Honourable Ralhoma said there regarding boxing SA developing an action plan for generating its own funding for self-sufficiency, because I think what is quite clear is that, you know, we take that point about this over-dependence on the department, that what we need is an action plan from Boxing South Africa about how it's going to develop ways of generating, you know, income to fund these action plans. And that will also cover that issue of the broadcasting, because I think that is an avenue that they can use, whether we make that an additional point in there or we create it as a blanket thing. The last point is that with regards to federations, I don't see any reference to the federations overall, or we have limited our focus on the two entities that rely on the department. But there's the issue of that conditional grant that goes to the federation. So maybe with good governance to put an emphasis on the federations, because the two previous points would have covered Boxing South Africa, and says we have agreed that it will be separate because they still have to come here. That would be my contribution.
The last point that you raised, I don't know whether it was in Pumas or that is right. I was whispering saying that UDG did say to us some federation, they didn't account, they cut their whatever. I'm suspecting that we are speaking on that. Yes, exactly. I was thinking when I don't know which point I was thinking that there was something that we've been briefed that these federations, they are not up to standard. Like, there are those that already they've cut the assistance and if Utebu can elaborate on that point and what I'm saying, I wanted that I must be reminded there's something about this federation.
Thank you very much, Chair. Okay. I think just now when Mr. Malatsi was making that point, I'm just reminded as to why these 2.7 and 8 are separated. Because the first one in particular, without being too detailed, was specifically, said number 7, was specifically dealing with the matters of governance and the recommendations as raised by Auditor General for the two public entities. Now, I think here what I meant to emphasize on was the federations and other entities like your SASCO, Sports Trust, Love Life, those that benefit directly from the allocations of the department. And that's how I captured it, did not bring that message across. Now, with the two points that have been made around emphasis on the internal controls and splitting the recommendation number 8 to the 2. As I mentioned earlier, we could speak specifically in detail to what should happen in each entity and then list many recommendations. Or we could speak broadly on a strategic level of what are the key issues that we are referring to. While not wanting to say that it is good or bad, or it will extend the list, I think then it brings us to the issue of remaining with the two recommendations, however, but being much more specific on each of them as to what we are referring to in this meeting.
Thanks, sir. In principle, I'll agree with you, but I'll suggest perhaps we look at it, we approach it differently by saying, let's find out what are the causes of this evil that we see, with a view to making recommendations as to how to go around, to get around that, rather than being presumptuous, as it were, you know, and act like we already know what are the causes of poor governance. Thanks.
Well, I think let's split them, because I mean, SAID as well as BSA, they've got specific challenges. So I think let's just put them so that we don't lose them. And then I think we should have a separate point that will deal with federation, because we need to ensure that federations are supported, linked to the transformation targets in the scorecards. Because that is how the DG was put in. Otherwise, we don't put it like that, we won't make a headway with transformation targets. I know, I mean, the minister was saying he's about to sign, the DG, that they're about to sign, with implications to about 5 or 7. So we need to push that they should be compliant. Because it's us, we must push transformation at all costs.
Except that I'm not hearing you, honourable members, putting an FRC in this first scope that has been given such money that is not no reports were received from SASCOC. What are we saying about that? We put it in the priorities of our program, because SASCOC did come, but not specific for this question. So I'm saying that let's hang it, in order that when we're dealing with our program, there are those entities that are supposed to prioritize them. I've seen in that page 19, I'm very worried about such, or in fact, it's SASCOC and this sports trust. Yeah, we need to prioritize them, to call them to account. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Just on your last point, you'll see that on page 37, we have as number one the SASCOC to report on the financial matters. We just didn't make the recommendation. The last item, the last recommendation, ensuring that all amendments to the legislative framework of the entities are resolved in the current financial year. I think that gives also the time frame of when should that happen. You'd recall that right from when we started last year, including this year, the department has been promising that there's going to be amendments to four pieces of legislation. Number one being the Sports and Recreation Act, the boxing or the so-called Sports Combat Bill, the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport Act, and the one around the fitness industry. So those are the four pieces of legislation that the committee has been anticipating, and they have not been coming. And we had a brief separate in August around the status of those bills. I think the DG did elaborate that they are all at different stages. in fact, if not all of them are out of the departmental hands, they're between, you know, cabinet and parliament and in between there. So fast tracking that process, perhaps as the minister to ensure that that process is fast tracked.
Yes, thank you. I'm noting you, Honourable Fulton. You know, unless as committees were doing the oversight on what we've just said, this problem of legislation, it has been a problem in this parliament. Those of us who once served in the NCOP, they are always going to have a bad impact according to Section 76 bills. Section 76 bills will get Parliament or the cabinet asking if was tracking. It's because of what you have saying that Udiji said there are between cabinet and parliament. Cabinet and parliament, they must know if we have so many legislations that we supposed to have even one or two with us. It's what's going to be done with those who are in the second house, let alone with us. Because immediately they were asking us to frustrate, which means we're behind schedules. And I don't know, I'm suspecting that we need to be upfront as this committee, saying that this thing must come to an end. This is now June, July, August, September, and then November and December, we are going for a recess. And let's have time frames that at least when we are coming back, one or two legislation must be presented in the committee. And when we are hearing that it's within a cabinet and parliament, we must support a department to call a parliamentary state laws that if it's within them or is within the because state law advisors, because these processes are too long, and if we are leaving them relaxing, it's like this thing that we are saying, that time frames, they just relax. And this restriction is very bad because we need to implement some things that are not done well by OBSA, by whoever. But they will stay there. If it was our department, I'm happy that they're saying that they've done their processes. Now these state laws, we must shaken them up, not just relax, have a pile of bills. And it's reflecting bad about Parliament. You know what? When we are talking about Section 76, we need to go and consult for 4 weeks. And now if we don't take care of the consultation, it's public hearings, those things that is very important. I don't know, maybe in another meeting we must discuss how do we assist departments that they must be taken serious when they presenting the legislation, not told that we've submitted August, but until now no one did give those people who are supposed to have that cycle of facilitating. I don't know how are we going to do that, but I'm suspecting they are too relaxed.
Thank you, sir. I think you've already motivated the case, you know, exactly on the same lines that I was going to, you know, go to say that lawmaking is quite a protracted, you know, process. In some part of the language, choice of words, I would say the way we should structure this sentence is by saying the department must show cause why the outstanding four bills cannot be presented to us before the end of February, I would say, so that they have got the onus you know, to show us the reason why they cannot do that.
Let alone that they've shown us. They did come and tell us that they finished, and it's stuck where I'm saying that the problem is that as a committee, how do we fast track? Because they did tell us that they submitted long ago. Maybe, I don't know the other way of saying that those in charge, I don't know, but the problem is that we have asked the department and they've told us that they've submitted on August. So rephrase your point, but the point is that we must assist on fast tracking of these bills. Debo, what can we say to concentrate in assisting the department on the legislation that they are stuck in some offices, if it's your cabinet, if it's your parliament? What can we phrase this point?
Chair, perhaps one would play with words there to emphasize the need for a speedy advance of legislation. However, as members have said, I think processes are particularly held within the legal departments, and we've seen with the SASRIA, the appointment of the board, just to get approval and permission to process that has been a backward forward kind of process to a point that we are at now. So you may realize that while the department through its legal advisors have done their part, the onus is left on the wording and that whole process that legal advisors and the law experts always look at, and I think that's where the technicality is. But be that as it may, Chair, I think from our side as committees, not to be getting into operational matters, is to emphasize on the need to ensure the speedy processing of the mechanisms that the minister may apply or may use to ensure that all these processes are speedily resolved.
Let me take this point number four, the appreciation of committee. The committee was very satisfied with the service delivery performance of the department, with just a concern of the efficient usage of the resources to achieve the stated goals. There is a concern regarding the management of Boxing in South Africa and oversight overseas regarding compliance with the treasurer regulations around the PMFA. As we express our gratitude, we wish to acknowledge the contribution made by the members of the Portfolio Committee of Sport and Recreation Support Staff, SRSA, and all its entities, National Federation, including members of the public. I'm tabling this report that it must be considered by confirming that is our true reflection of this report. Thank you. Propose the adoption with the amendments that we've been doing the whole blessed morning. Honorable friends?
I move that we adopt as amended.
Any second? Honorable Madiba?
Second.
I'm a human being. I'm feeling tiredness. I wanted to say number four, the preparation of reports on national lottery in our insane seminar. We can't deliberate on the report that we're tabling, those who are our part of those two visits. But now I'm appreciating that whoever was part of any visit attending anything on behalf of committee, we cannot not to come with a report to the fully fledged committee. If my tiredness is making that the committee must suffer, say so. I'm saying that I want to say that we are presenting these two reports today, and then the deliberation is one other thing. Am I wrong? Because we've already adopted the agenda, but we didn't amend that it must not be deliberation, it must be tabling of those two reports. I want to hear from you, honorable members.
I think you've just covered it. I think, you know, we can peruse the document by just reading through it. I don't think we need to go through a tedious process of, you know, going through it. I think the mere fact that it's presented here shows that, you know, the attendance was there and the work was done. We can, I move that we move to other more pertinent issues.
Any second?
No. I second the Honourable Malasi.
Thank you, honorable member. It's a pity, really. Sometimes when we are presenting the agenda that you get it in the morning, we're supposed to see this. It's not about the tiredness. You can't deliberate on a report of such format. I'm thanking the members that are agreeing on that. Take your point number five. Number three. Oh, no problem for committee oversight. Okay. Number three is very important. The elaboration of committee program for this headquarter. We do have copies, ne? We cannot not to look at that one. You want to present it? Of course. Okay.
Chairperson, on the program.
Let me try to give the way of doing it. We do have management, which this management sit and craft this program. I wanted that when they are presenting, we'll amend and subtract and put priorities. So let me give again the content advisor to present in order that as members we must amend and add. Lastly, we'll adopt it. Honorable Demo.
Thanks, Chair. On behalf of the Secretary of the Committee, I wish to present this program as follows. You'd recall that we had adopted we have not adopted in principle the third term program, because the only time that we met was last week when we did the bitcular, and the program was submitted to the House Chairperson a week before when members were still on the constituency period. So as a result, we thought it useful to inform members of what the third term program would look like as we had planned earlier in the year. Two things that should be noted is that this week in particular, when you move all these meetings that we've had, the 14th we've had, and today we're having on the 21st this meeting to consider the BSSS. In 2 days' time, you'll recall that there was an invite that was extended to us by the delegation from Germany to discuss some sport and pertinent issues. So that meeting is scheduled for Thursday. And then there's another meeting that will take place on Friday, which would not have the time for here, where members would consider the process that should be taken with regard to the request by the Minister of Sport to appoint appeals board members in terms of the Safety at Sports and Recreation Event Act. And so that meeting is going to be taking place this coming Friday. And then next week is the meeting, the joint meeting with Basic Education regarding school sports and physical education. And with members' request in previous meeting with SASCOC, there was an indication that SASCOC should return to present their plans and performance. And so that meeting has been scheduled for the 4th of November. That was the meeting where they were suspended from presenting in September. And so another meeting will take place after that, which is with the transformation, the EPG, Eminent Persons Group, to present to the members and portfolio committee the transformation report that they have gathered and presented and have indicated to members around the five sporting codes. So they will present that transformation report. The following week being the report with the... In fact, on the same day, we anticipate that Sports and Recreation will come and present the second quarterly report, which for the from July to end of September. July to end of September. So that will take place at the same day when we're doing transformation. And the following week after that, then we have one federation, Cricket South Africa, to present on those issues. We can enrich the agenda depending on what are the pertinent issues. Now, I think of importance, you'll see that the last week there of this term, it's an oversight week. That's something also that perhaps by the end of the day we have to look into. You see there the date starts on the 25th to 28th of November. Now, what we as staff have considered here is that the program of Parliament indicates that committee work is from Tuesday to Friday. And the days that include constituency work will require members to seek permission from the whips to conduct that town. Now, previously, there has not been any problem that members would leave their constituencies, say perhaps on a Saturday or Sunday, to attend to oversight work that will perhaps start on Sunday evening or Monday morning, skipping that constituency work. So in this instance, even the program you'll see as we present it indicates that constituency will start not on the 25th but on the 23rd. So it means on the constituency day of a Monday that perhaps these members then will deliberate here and decide and see how best can we resolve that. But there has not also been a problem where a member will join an oversight while it's in the middle, depending on the the deliberations with the whips of the different parties. But that week has been scheduled for oversight. And this is the program as we present it, and Chair, I'll hand it over to you.
Let's go to page one. Honourable members, what have you noticed and what you want to... if you are saying it's fine, say it, in order that you must no longer take exception in 21. Is that... Oh, no, we can't put so many things. I wanted to talk about the 4th of November, about SASCOC, that we're doing EBEEE3. And they have this outstanding account that they didn't account, but if we put it on the same day, hey, we may sleep here. What do you say, honourable members? Because if they are coming for One, two, three. Can you put the fourth point? Because it was not our problem, not them coming prepared. We're supposed to call them on the 44, this thing that we've just discussed. But I'll need to hear from members that is it going to be too much if we, the fourth point is the one that they must account.
Yes, and I think it becomes a timing issue, but I think there's also a good argument to have that when we have a federation coming up here, we must maximize the time that they're here rather than they come here and then a month later we call them here on a separate issue. So I think there's enough in, you know, adding that point in here. It's just that on the day it means we may need to just be cautious of how we best manage our time.
Honourable members, let's put this other thing that it's in our last discussion that can never, you see, that is a whole day. You can't ask me whether members must have a lunch. We agree, page one, and then Umphumzi, Teboho, Teboho must notify uSasikhoko. Oh, can I so call? Yes, I think that Jessica and Nesra are on this nigga. They must be notified.
Let me indicate that there's absolutely nothing wrong with maximizing the time of ensuring that that report of the funds transferred brought. We can also engage on that. But secondly, I think we should also acknowledge that I think it's, they would have had their annual report. Actually, it's there. It's present. So perhaps then we can include the presentation of the annual report so that we have a bigger picture of SASCOC performance over the year when they present their annual report. Instead of just going to one item, then you see broadly how.
We cannot go to one item. We are right. They must present and we are going to reflect. We can't reflect without that report on front of us. That's the thing. And you know what, honourable members, the way that they were so good when we were in the strat plan, it seems real on that day they didn't prepare at all. So we need them that they must present the document. It's one other thing that they came without documents. We'll ask the office that we need documents in order that we must read. Whoever was responsible to tell them, whoever is responsible to get documents at what Utebo just said. No, we can read impugnancy as born. People, they must not take us for granted that I, even if we didn't bring the document, that is very important. They can't present whilst we didn't have an opportunity of reading. Thank you.
Any other thing
Let's go to the last page. Anything that you want to say in the program or in the oversight visits, I'm sure it's the 12 that we must reflect.
Oversight has, let's discuss it separately when you deal with the program of oversight.
Oh, mm-hmm. We do have a separate process.
Yes.
I will try you with the last SRSA briefing on the special quarter report and related matters. One, two, honorable members and honorable one. Honorable Nomkrom. Okay.
sorry. I just wanted to know what time on Friday the 24th is this meeting, so that we can meet somebody. The meeting with the Minister of Sports and Recreation.
I was thinking that members will be reflecting their availability. We have asked last time, but as I'm sitting here, these lawyers asked me in the morning to come and brief. You still remember that you have given me that mandate. And I've asked and grounded this official who is supposed to go early in the morning for another task. I've grounded him not to go. They are coming at 9. This lawyer, was I was supposed to meet with him today in order that I must come and report, but he has changed that appointment. So in the morning, this honorable staff of mine and the researcher, myself and the whip will meet with this legal somebody. And then we are meeting him. We're expecting to meet him long ago, but we cannot say no because this thing is overdue. And then on Friday, they are coming. He is coming to the committee. So I was waiting for this moment, Mamkhom, that we must confirm the presence of members. And I've asked the office to ask him to come at 9. Bulem, what is the response of El Kwetalak? That's the information. Friday. No. Confirming the 9 of tomorrow. And we are appealing not to be 9:30 as usual with us. Table and the rest, because at least we have granted permission to meet, but instead of taking 9:30, let's take 9, in order that the members can compromise to come at 9, and 9:10 they must rush for their flights for Friday. Is it in order?
9 on Friday.
Chairperson, is it possible if we can just give an earlier time, like 8 o'clock or 8:30? Because we've been doing that. It's a proposal, yes.
I support that because the appeal that I was going to make is that let's get done. Let's do it on Friday. If the proposal is earlier, then maybe we should try earlier. But I thought if we can go for 9 and then yeah, so that we are beginning to deal with this referral to pass. And then we can develop a time frame from there.
Supposed to be here at 9. In fact, I've asked 8:30. he suggested nine. At nine, he said still dropping the kids at school. That's one other challenge. Because today I was supposed to brief you, because it's not my briefing, that one. It's a mandate of committee that he must tell us what is the problem, in order that we will be going to check whether on Friday we do still need him, or we're taking what I'm telling you with the office. So he couldn't manage to have nine from 8:30, because I didn't want that. I must start at nine. At nine, he said I'm starting the committee. I've asked him to come at 8:30. Couldn't budge at nine. Couldn't budge. I felt cancer. So there's that thing. I must indicate that whoever is communicating with him, this lawyer, must know that at 8:30 we need him here. Because members are compromising. Friday is a working day, but we must be very sensitive that we are also leaders, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. In weekend, we need, whilst it's working day, I'm appreciating that members, they know that when terms of agency will compromise our Friday. So we'll ask Executive Secretary Bulelo to call him, to tell him that sharp 8:30. If he's saying no, go unto him, we're going home. We've got constituency work. We do have wives, we do have a husband, we do have boyfriends, girlfriends. No, we are human. We are human beings. We are. Let's go to the last one, which is oversight. Okay, Doctor.
Okay, you're not curious, taking the head about the problem.
Okay.
I just want to make an issue. I mean, do you find that having the eminent group on transformation in the government on the same day will be highly efficient? Because one, the issue of transformation is quite like we have educated about it for so long. But often from the short experience that we have with the department, they need as much time, we need as much time as possible to deal with them. Otherwise, we never get to finish stuff.
I'm suspecting that if we can start at 9:30 with the point number one, I can tell you we'll finish at one. Maybe at two, starting another presentation. So it's going to be the whole day. I've seen other committees the last week, they've set until 6 p.m. Let's give them that we must open, not any other thing that day. It must be the whole day. We must gear ourselves that we'll do it justice. If it's four, we'll go four. If it's five, we'll go five. I'm suspecting that I've heard some other people that in this committee, the way that we've done so many things, let's keep it on, that it must be whole day.
Just on the question of whole day, I am not sure how the NA program looks like for the afternoon on members. So I am skeptic to say it would be good, because I know there's quite a lot of sessions, plenaries, and in the afternoon. Yes.
You know, whilst I was in myself, I was always with the program, and the EEE, I will ask all honorable staff that when we are in the meeting, they must just table the program. Whilst as e-members, it's no longer putting in the pigeonholes, because some of us will always carry a problem. Just now we're supposed to peruse, look at the program of that week. My executive secretary still keeping the teachings of the mother. Thank you, Gemma Bush. No, we need to do that, honourable members. We're supposed to be having our programs every day in order that you must look at the program. The date is 11 November. There is a plenary, honourable members.